beginning Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But if we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And as I have said before, if you do not own a Bible and would like one, we would be very delighted to give you one. Now, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours forever and ever. Amen. But that wasn't in our reading, and what is more, it's not in the Gospels where Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer. It's not in Matthew, and it's not in Luke. So why do we say it anyway? Now, the important thing to remember is that this has been part of the teaching of the church. It was in the first century Christian practice to add this ending to the Lord's Prayer. And it's a form of prayer that is very typical in Jewish practice. So this is the form of prayer that Jesus would have prayed in his time. So it's okay to pray this, to bring the Lord's Prayer to a close. And actually, church tradition, if you throw church tradition out, usually that leads people into heresy. So let's not knock church tradition. This dates back from the earliest Christian guidance books that came after the Bible. This phrase adds value because it expresses the tone and the faith of the previous words. Because in this phrase, it's both upwards and forwards looking. Just as we start, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." It looks up to who God is, our Father in heaven, the Holy One, and it looks forward to that time when kingdom will be realized on earth as it is in heaven. So when we say these words, we affirm the one whose kingdom knows no end, whose power knows no limit, and whose glory knows no constraint. We've looked at kingdom. We have a crown of thorns. And God's kingdom is upside down. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus quotes from the prophecy of Isaiah at the beginning of his ministry. He goes into the synagogue and reads Isaiah's prophet. He announces good news to the poor, release for the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, and freedom for the oppressed. So he talks about justice and freedom. And it is understandable that people thought, when they heard that prophecy of Isaiah, that Jesus was going to be a political power, overthrow the oppression of the Romans. And in our day and age, like it or loathe it, people see the NHS as the one who is going to bring healing. And that is absolutely wrapped up in politics. We're going to hear it. Excuse me. We're going to see here, I'm sure, an awful lot about the NHS in future weeks. But actually, we don't place our faith in political powers to actually relieve oppression. We don't place our faith in the NHS for healing. God's kingdom is not a political power. It is not the rule of state. He rules and reigns from an entirely different perspective. And we see in the life of Jesus that God's kingdom is one of sacrifice and service. The Bible also says, describes God's kingdom is like a mustard seed. And a mustard seed, if you were here a few months ago, I held a mustard seed on my hand. You can't see it. I did it at college, and people sat on mustard seeds without noticing. A mustard seed is tiny, tiny. But it grows. It has the potential to grow and grow. And though we struggle sometimes to see God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, by faith, we know that the mustard seed is there and it is growing. But it won't be fully realized until Christ returns and we see the new heavens and the new earth and his kingdom established forever. So we already start by looking upwards and forwards. We've talked about the power. It's not a political kingdom. It's not political power. But God has the power over life and death. When we think about God's power, I find it interesting that often people complain that God hasn't used his power in the way that they want him to. They want him to do X, Y, or Z. And by complaining, they obviously think that God could have had the power to do X, Y, Z. I'll leave you to think about that. So people who complain that God isn't powerful are actually complaining that he's not using their power in the way that they want him to use his power. Now, we know that Jesus had miraculous powers. He was able to do miracles whilst he walked on earth. But those powers were not acquired like Spider-Man from a radioactive spider bite or Supergirl because she was born on Krypton. His power is derived because he is God. And in Christ, he is the only one who can save. The Bible says that we should only fear God, not mankind, because God has the power over life and death. And it's only God who can save, because only Jesus has paid that sacrifice. But it's only before God that we need to be saved, because he is the one before whom we stand in judgment. It is ultimately only against God that we sin. And it is only because of his mercy and love that we can be saved from our sins. God expresses his power in mercy and forgiveness. So just like the kingdom is upside down, God doesn't use his power like a ruling dictator. He uses it in humility and in love and compassion. His power was displayed in the birth of a baby. Herod had position, wealth, and political power, but he was scared of a helpless, tiny baby that wasn't even born at home. That is the nature of God's power. It is completely different from the selfish power that so many people seek to exert in the world today. And then we briefly looked at God's glory. Now, the Bible talks about God's glory in all sorts of ways, and we could spend a lot longer on this. But we briefly looked at two ways: his glory displayed in creation and his glory displayed in Jesus. I've already talked about the fact that God's power was in a tiny baby, but God's glory was in a saviour who came and was willing to die. He was the teen who turned up at the temple without his parents. He was the man who got hungry in the wilderness. And God's power and glory was seen on display on the cross. This is not what people think of as being glorious, the humiliation of a tortured death. Yet Jesus was in complete control of those whole events. He allowed himself to be arrested, tried, humiliated, and king. In our first hymn, in Crown Him with Many Crowns, we sang, "Behold his hands and side, those wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified." It is unusual for people to think of scars as being glory. But the wounds of Jesus on display are the wounds of God's glory in a way like nothing else. And yes, we do see the glory of creation, God's glory reflected in creation. I'm sure many of us here will have had a moment at mountains, beaches, countryside, or the splendour of looking at the skies, or the intricacy of a flower or a butterfly's wing, and just wondered at the majesty of God. But just as people at the time refused to see the glory of God and the power of God vested in Jesus, people try and describe the beauty of creation in all kinds of ways without needing the hand of a creator. But we trust in faith that those are the things that are true, that God's kingdom is different, God's power is different, and that God's glory is different. But we declare all this in this final statement as a statement of faith. We don't come to this with the cynical skepticism of the world. God confounds all human ideas, and yet we live among people who still refuse to see it. No matter how hard they look, they can't see that slice of bread, the bread of life on the countertop. So this is why I think those early Christians that followed a traditional Jewish form of prayer were wise and very helpful to us by adding this statement at the end of the Lord's Prayer. Because it turns our hearts upwards and forwards in faith, looking at who God is and looking at the future of when these things will be fully realized on earth as it is in heaven. So we see by faith this is a true statement. And sometimes when we're feeling like we can't see it in our lives, where that reality doesn't feel real, where God feels distant, where we wonder, is his kingdom and power at work in this world? Are we ever going to see that glory? This statement of faith helps to remind us that even though things can be tough, his is the power, the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And it will happen with no restraint. That verse from chapter 10, verse 37, talks about Christ coming and will not delay. And Eugene Patterson translated, "It won't be long now. He's on the way. He'll show up most any time." And when we are struggling to announce, "Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory," to look forward to that time when Christ will return and those things are fully realized, we can rejoice that he's on his way and he will turn up most any time. So this is a statement of faith. It's placing ourselves in the place of a servant looking up to a loving God. It's a posture of praise. And we look forward to that time when we see not by faith, but when we see him face to face, as we sang in our previous song. So we can hold on in faith because God does have the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. So we'll have a moment to just drink that in, and then we will say the Lord's Prayer together. The words will be on the screen. Let us pray. With our hearts looking upwards to who God is and forwards to what will be when Christ returns. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And we stand to sing our final hymn, By Faith We See the Hand of God. In